Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to BLT, Business, Life, Transitions, the show that explores all the latest trends in your business, life, and our favorite topic, transitions. Hosted by Brian Basilico, the Director of Direction with B2B Interactive Marketing, and Jan Marino, CEO of High Gain Companies, Inc. And now it's time for some insightful conversation and interviews with your hosts, Brian and Jan.
Everybody, hope you're having a great day. This is Brian. Jan is still on leave. We're all sending good wishes and prayers to her. And today I wanted to talk a little bit about transitioning, because that's what the show is about. It's a combination of transitioning and reinvention. And reinvention is something that a lot of people have to think about, especially as they get into their later years. You hit 40 or 50. And, you know, the environment's changing. I mean, everything's changing around us. I'm, you know, big into social media. That's what I do. I've got another podcast called Bacon Podcast. It's baconpodcast.com. And there's been a lot of buzz and talk about some new stuff. Primarily, the new stuff is new communication tools. One is called Blab. The other one is Periscope. There's also Meerkat. And a lot of these are actually causing a revitalization of Twitter as a tool. And what that means is that for you, if you're not on Twitter, I would suggest you get on Twitter. If you're looking for a job, it's one of the best places to look for jobs, too. A lot of people don't know about that. But going on Twitter and actually putting in hashtag job whatever town you're in and do a search with that. So it's hashtag, well, I live in Aurora, so it'd be hashtag jobs Aurora, Illinois. You'd be amazed at the number of jobs that are out there. It's also a great way to do search and catch on all kinds of other information like breaking news or trending topics and all those kind of things. So there's, you know, the thing about Twitter, there's a ton of information on there. And also, you know, inside of Twitter is a lot of conversations going on. The thing that Blab does is Blab actually turns Twitter into like a mini TV show because it's done with, it's actually done with a camera. It's blab.im. Check that out, or periscope.tv. Now, Periscope is more like a concert where you're broadcasting to a group of people and they're applauding by giving you hearts. Blab is actually two people talking at the same time, and you can have up to four people on the screen at the same time. So part of that reinvention is to just go check those things out. Go see what new technologies are out there and see how you could use it for yourself and or your business, if you have your own business. Or if you're in transition looking to learn some stuff, there's some awesome information on there. I tweet out about four or five times a day different links to podcasts and blogs, and always get a lot of engagement with that. So check it out. And if you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at bbasilico. That's B-B-A-S-I-L-I-C-O. But the show's really not about me today. The show is actually about our guest, and our guest, her name is Caroline Olinger. And Caroline, how are you doing today?
Hey, fine, Brian. Thanks very much.
Oh, good. So anyways, the show's primarily about transitioning, and you have a heck of a transition that you went through. You were in the Navy for how many years?
29 years and a couple months. I went in right after college in 1984 from the University of Illinois, ROTC, and retired in June of 2013.
Wow. So what did you do in the Navy? What was your career path inside of there?
Yeah, I actually did a variety of things. I like to think that I was a little bit of a shore management, a little bit of or what we've referred to as installation management. I also did helping with fleet support, which could range from logistics support to the warfighter, all the way through to education and training, which is where I primarily finished up my last 10 years in the Navy, retiring out of Great Lakes, where we have the Navy's only boot camp.
Wow. So, yeah, you've done a lot of different things. And the training thing, I think, is a very interesting place to be, taking all the knowledge that you have and then training new sailors how to manage logistics and all the things that you used to do. I'm assuming that's what you did.
Oh, absolutely. We most of the training and education dealt with a variety of sailor training from apprenticeship level for those young men and women after they graduated from boot camp. We're learning the very initial skills necessary to be successful sailors, all the way through to the ROTC curriculums that are out throughout the nation, where we have a number of ROTC units, and including junior ROTC. So it really ranged from that that young 18-year-old all the way up through secondary education and even some grad school curriculums that the Navy endorsed. We would also, you know, look at those and approve those. So it was just a huge range of dealing with young people, young sailors, and who want to make a difference and want to contribute to our national defense.
Awesome. So now you retire, and you say, okay, this retirement thing is kind of cool. You know, I don't have to get up and go to work every day. Don't have to stress about being a teacher in classes. So what went through the process of, you know, retiring from there and then all of a sudden saying, you know what, I need to do something, and then you ended up getting a franchise, and I'd like to know about your selection process with this franchise called Seniors Helping Seniors. So how did you go through that transition from
well,
being in the Navy?
Well, you know, as you
to...
said, Brian, I took some time off after I retired. You know, definitely was the brain was a little bit on overload. Came back to my hometown area in Batavia, Illinois. I grew up in St. Charles, Illinois. But after taking that time off to reflect, because you really need to open up the brain, I realized I needed to do something that would allow me to get involved in the community and the people in this community, some of whom are family friends and family members who I was becoming reacquainted with after literally almost 30 years of being away. And I knew this is where I wanted to do something to bring value to the community. And strangely enough, my husband, who's a retired Marine, brought home this information that was in an airline magazine about Seniors Helping Seniors. And I started reading about it, and it from the moment I started looking into this franchise, it started to click with my own personal values and where I wanted to go for at least the next several years of my life, starting a second career, so to speak. I was able to focus on individuals, seniors in particular, of which I just have this affinity, perhaps because of the vulnerability that seniors have in our community as they age, and the fact that my parents, I was very close to them, and they're both gone, and I really think this was almost a calling in a way, and I felt just this positive energy going in this direction. I blame my parents to this day for doing this, and I knew I was on the right track. So I really never looked back. I looked into the franchise, checked it out on how they were doing, you know, nationwide, and they were in the top 6-7 out of Forbes as one of the fastest growing franchises in the country. But the fact that it was hiring seniors, and that's what's key, hiring seniors to help seniors. I just love that peer-to-peer model. It's something we did in the Navy quite often with young mentoring programs and counseling programs, and I felt this was just a terrific segue for me to continue helping others.
That's awesome. And so, you know, in the process of looking at this franchise and stuff, you know, what kind of due diligence did you do? Did you talk to anybody? I mean, just you said that you read about it and you did some research, but this, you know, as getting into a franchise, going from the Navy, it's not like you had experience running your own business, I would assume, right?
No, I did not. I really did need some guidance here, and of course, when I reached out to the franchise, they provide some discussions on that, but I also was happy to reach out to Harriet Parker at Waubonsie Community College. She does a small business group there, and she was just wonderful, as well as I reached out to the Batavia Chamber of Commerce, of which I'm a member, and just talking to people in my own area that are positive people, they're small business people, they have just a lot of insight and recommendations for me to look at. So I reached out to some of the local folks that I met and was trying to understand what I need to look for, what I needed to be careful of as I move forward. But I was a pretty confident person, so I kind of saw this as my hill to take, and I did forge ahead rather quickly with my husband, because it just felt right from the beginning, and the affirmation and encouragement I was getting from, you know, the folks I've met here in the area, including you, Brian, you know, encouraging me to look at different ways of communicating with the community. I felt pretty comfortable. I felt like I had an extra safety net, because I felt people were rooting for me besides my own family.
Mm-hmm. And then you had some struggles with getting state licensing and stuff like that. I think that anybody who works with seniors has to have that, go through that process.
Absolutely. Yes. Because this is an in-home service primarily, although we can go into other facilities, the requirement from the state of Illinois, specifically the Illinois Department of Public Health, is that you register and apply for a home services licensure. And there's a process for that, which is a little daunting, but and do not be in any hurry. But I got through that process, again, with probably a lot of prayer and, you know, and encouragement from friends. But that process took me 6 months. And a lot of paperwork, a lot of phone calls, and ultimately waiting for the state to approve of the business plan and the various things that you needed, like the insurance and paying for your license, of course. All of those things had to be met and approved prior to getting my license. So after holding my breath for about 6 months, I finally got my license in March of 2015 and my first client in April. So now I am on my 6 months of operating in the Kane County area, and I slow but surely I'm making progress, and progress is good.
It is. So how helpful was the franchise in going through that, you know, the challenge of getting licensed and stuff like that? Because obviously they must have seen that or know something about that as well.
Well, actually, the franchise deals with over 240 different franchises throughout the nation, and I was only the third in Illinois. So to be honest with you, there were some assumptions made by the corporate office about how Illinois operated. And lo and behold, when I explained that there were certain things that Illinois did not do, similar to, let's say, Minnesota or Indiana, they were a little perplexed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little difficult explaining to the corporate office what I was going through. And, you know, they were very supportive and very encouraging, but they almost just didn't quite understand that Illinois kind of had its own timeline and they moved at their own pace. And that was a little bit of a challenge for me and a slight negative in this process. But I'm past that now, and I've worked with the corporate office telling them about any future Illinois franchise owners need to understand what we're going through. Yeah, Illinois is very unique, apparently, as it relates to, you know, how licensure is granted and the timeline.
Right. Well, I think the lesson there for everybody is if you're going to get into that kind of business, any kind of senior in-home business, because I have spoken with numerous franchise people, including Joe Spry, who you know, and spoke at the Franchise Brokers Association's annual convention last year. And the senior sector is one of the fastest growing business sectors in the United States because boomers are becoming older. So I think the lesson learned in that whole thing is, you know, to make sure that you understand the processes and the time frames that it's
Absolutely.
Going to take in order to get things up and running. And I think, you know, That miscalculation, I'm sure it was not an inexpensive proposition to go through all the licensing and stuff like that.
Not at all. And you're absolutely right. And that franchise disclosure document is, and the agreement you sign with that franchise, it's very important to vet that through a legal advisor. And that's what I learned the hard way was after you sign that agreement, that clock starts to tick for the franchisers, those that own the business, for you to start paying royalties.
Right.
And if you are stuck in the mud with your the process, the state licensure process, there's nothing you can do about that. You know,
right.
You're going to have to start making your payments, and it doesn't matter how much belly aching you do. They are not beholden to making modifications or changes just for you. So franchisees beware. Look at those documents and the timelines when you are expected to make royalty payments.
Right, I think that's a huge lesson because it's the royalty payments plus the, you know, I mean, here you are signing stuff and 6 months later still don't have a penny of income because you can't do business in the state.
That's absolutely right, which is, you know, boy, you know, that was pretty upsetting. And
mm-hmm,
it's not
sure.
Something, you know, in the Navy I was accustomed to because that's just unacceptable. But that
right.
was
mm-hmm.
the negative thing, but, you know, we're moving forward now.
That's great. And that's just a testament to overcoming hurdles, which every small business has. I mean, you have to, mm-hmm. you know, worst case scenario, you got to register with the state, you know, as a LLC or a C-Corp or an S-Corp or whatever it is that you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, so,
well, yeah,
so then,
and if this is going to frighten you, I mean, then you're probably going down the wrong path. But,
right.
yeah, you've got to brace for the storm that can come. And even though this was kind of a administrative storm, nonetheless, you've got to you know, forge ahead. And if you're going to go for it, you're all in.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about you know, now that you've started the process. You know, you're 6 months into this now. Talk about, you know, how you're finding and recruiting the seniors to help the seniors. What's it like managing them? What kind of, give us some positive stuff, you know, that's happened, you know, some good outcomes. Tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. As the name implies, seniors helping seniors, I'm looking for those seniors who are primarily post-career, semi-retired, want to still stay in the game to stay active in their communities as well as potentially earn a little extra money. Although I will tell you the driving factor here with these seniors is not the money. They really want to help other seniors. They understand them. They can connect with them. The rapport is phenomenal. They have so much in common, Brian, when they first meet. I just stand there and just, you know, I just keep my mouth shut because it's just – a wonderful connection that I am watching emerge between two individuals, one that's more active perhaps than the other, and the other who is willing to accept a little help with those activities around the home and getting out and about if they need a ride. And they're very grateful for one another. So what I'm actually seeing with my own eyes is just these relationships being formed. And that, to me, is the essence of what this particular business model and, you know, the what I want to do in my community. I want to be able to bring this value and this positive energy to where I live and work. So that's been already the highlight. And that's just like, that's just pure energy for me. When I see that happening, I'm ready. That just keeps me going. But there are some challenges when you're hiring some seniors. These are active seniors. They have lives. They have grandkids. They have lake cabins up in Wisconsin, and they like to go to Florida. So as a owner of a franchise, I was finding it's a little bit of a challenge piecing together a schedule. To meet the demands or the requirements of those other seniors that are in need, who I refer to as receivers. So what I've done is I changed my tactics a little bit, and I am actually trying to match not just one, but two, and in some cases three seniors per client, depending on the number of hours that that client needs. The more hours, then I may actually have two or three people tag team. And so they have a little team of individuals that can assist and meet their needs, and that way I can keep my seniors employed, but I can also meet the demands of that client who may need more hours. So you just kind of got to figure it out, and how do you piece together your team and get them on the schedule and keep them active, but also meet the need.
Right. Yeah, and that I could see that challenge. Now, what about, is there any liability issues? I mean, these people are using their own cars, I'm assuming, to drive people around, get them to the store, help them pick up their prescriptions, do all those kind of things.
Absolutely. There's two options there. One is that the provider or the helper uses their vehicle, and I do have insurance for my drivers, and it's actually a dual-use insurance. If you're using your own vehicle, you're covered. The liability, you're covered under my insurance. And I also have workers' comp, by the way. But if they're using the receiver or the client's vehicle, then the client, their insurance would be the primary insurance for any accidents that may happen, but mine would be secondary. But I do have the appropriate commercial liability that was required by the state that I have that before I was issued my license. And I also have the appropriate workers' compensation for any injuries on the job. So all that was required, before I even had my first client.
Wow. So what does the franchise actually do to help? What are the main things that you found from them that they've offered that's gotten you started?
Aside from the initial orientations and training, they continue to provide a website, and some web support. They provide a scheduling resource management system, which is a software for scheduling, invoicing, and then shifting some of that information and your financials over to QuickBooks. And they help you with that, but you also pay a monthly fee for that software that I just mentioned. But the franchise also has, we have regional webinars, they bring in speakers, we have a convention. They try to assist you, especially in your early years with sales training, for example. They have two different training programs. I've already done one. I'm scheduled to do another one later this fall that will help you understand the nature of the business that we're running. Certainly there's the what I call the heart part, which is, that's why I'm in this in the first place, is to because I want to connect with people in my community and do some good. But then there's that business part that even though I because I don't have a business background, I have to continue using my head and learn how businesses operate. And that's been a challenge for me because in the Navy, I always had a staff. I always had teams. And I was just, I would delegate typically and run the our command or run, what department I was running. But so this was a huge transition for me. So the corporate office has been very helpful in teaching us, here are some business techniques, sales techniques, how to go about focusing on your target audience, et cetera, to some degree. But I'm also finding I need a little more help, to be honest with you, in things like social media and how to really reach the target audience I need, which is different than other franchises.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I need to focus on, I think, next so that I can continue to grow.
Mm-hmm. So, you're basically a solopreneur with a training system and software, and that's great. If you had to create that from scratch, which a lot of people have to go through, I've gone through a handful of different scheduling softwares, but my scheduling is vastly different. you know, than yours, because you're dealing with, like you said, you're assigning three seniors to one senior, and there's these, you know, moving targets, so to speak. So what was the one thing, give us one outcome that you've had with a senior that has been very positive. I'm going to talk about the customer, not the driver.
Yeah, I would say I have a couple clients that, well, one in particular, I'll just focus on, I know we don't have a lot of time, that we weren't quite sure how we were going to assist this gentleman. Lives in the local area. He has a form of aphasia, which limits his ability to speak. It is a degenerative disease that will unfortunately not get better. He's limited in his ability to walk, but his mind is there. So this is the challenge. How do you assist somebody? You know, you bring someone into their home. You want to bring some joy. You want to bring some interaction. But the challenge is this gentleman is almost trapped inside of his own body and has limited ability to move and to speak. Well, I have two helpers right now assisting him, and I have been getting reports on how we're doing just in the last couple weeks. This gentleman, although he's not able to verbalize his sentiments or feelings, is really reaching out to my helpers in different ways with gestures. And one telling sign was, you know, one of my helpers was hoping that they were doing the right thing and having a good day. And before my helper left, and I have two gentlemen helping this gentleman, he struggled, got up out of this chair he was in. It's like a lounge chair, electric. Got up on his own without any assistance, came over to my helper without saying a word and just embraced him. And
that's awesome.
Did not say a word. And my helper just was just very touched by that. And to this, you know, to this moment, they have a bond. And this was a big deal because he couldn't get out of the chair without helping someone helping him. And he couldn't communicate, but this was just, we told the wife this and she almost cried. I mean, this is a big deal. It's small victories that you can achieve with one another and with a good relationship and patience and compassion. That's what it's all about to me. And if we can do that for some more people in this community that need the help, then, you know, I'm all in.
That's awesome. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. And the marketing guy in me says, make sure you get a testimonial from the wife.
Exactly. I mean, I got to do that. I know. That's plate number four I'm spinning. You know,
I understand. No, trust me. Yeah. That's one thing all small business owners learn how to do is keep those plates in the air. Because you
absolutely
have to. You have no choice. You know, otherwise
you have no
things
choice.
Fall through the
cracks. Is right. But that's just one of many, many little stories already.
Amen.
Yeah.
So this has been great, Caroline. I really appreciate you coming on. Do me a favor, if you want, somebody wanted to get a hold of you, whether they're a senior that want to help or just somebody that wants to talk to you, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a work line that's right here in my, you know, I'm staring at it, which is 630-937-4246. And I also have a Facebook page. Which is facebook.com/FoxValley or SHS Fox Valley. And I have a website, which is www.seniorshelpingseniors.com/FoxValley. So you got to get that Fox Valley in there or that SHS Fox Valley. And that takes people right to my site. But,
awesome.
You know, the phone number, that's probably the quickest way, and would love to chat with anyone who needs information.
All right, this has been fabulous. Thanks for joining us today, Caroline. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Brian. I really appreciate the support.
Okay, that's today's BLT, Business, Life, Transitions. You can contact Brian at bbasilico@me.com and Jan at jan.highgameco@gmail.com. Join us again next week for some more great insight about your business, your life, and your transitions. Till next time, Thanks for tuning in.